Would you pray with me? Our gracious and loving Father in heaven, we praise thy great and holy name, for thou art worthy of all praise and adoration. Father, as we come together today, we recognize our weakness and thy strength. And Father, we just ask that you bless us, that we might be able to worship thee in spirit and in truth, that we might lay aside all the cares of this life and from all those things that might draw our attention away from thee. Help us to set our affection upon heavenly things. And Father, we are mindful of those who are not able to join us in public worship today. And we know that there are those of this body who have a desire to be here but are not able to come. And we ask you, Father, to visit them and supply their needs and restore them back to this place of worship. And Father, we pray not for this congregation alone, but for your people wherever they're gathered together. We pray that there be a great reviving, that your name might be glorified. I pray, Father, that just now you'd bless me to preach the word. Bless each of us to hear, to understand. Help us, Father, to be more faithful servants. Forgive us our sins, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I invite your attention to the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter. And I want to look at verses 6 and 7 to begin our study today. Again, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. A number of years ago, I had an experience that I've related to you before, and I've used in sermon illustrations a couple of times. But I want to express that again, that it was a day not very different from today, a rainy, cold day. I had been making home and hospital visits, and of course, Sandra was working, and she had a couple of days off coming, and we were going to Henniger to try to relax a little. As we drove down there, I was almost like a zombie. I was just driving, not aware of anything. Sandra, as her habit often is, had drifted off to sleep. And we were getting close to home, and on that dreary, cloudy day, and I just happened to look up and see the clouds start to part and the sun shining through. And I saw colors in the sky that I had never in my life seen before or never seen since then. A beautiful scene that I can't begin to describe. And in that experience, I felt the presence of God in a way that I've not felt in a long time. It reminded me of His mercy and grace, of His power. And it assured me that it didn't matter how dark and dreary the day got, there was always going to be another day when the sun shines brightly. And as great as that experience was, you know, when I consider John 3:16, probably the most well-known passage of Scripture in the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When I really begin to consider that, it is more glorious than that setting sun and all those colors of the sky. What a wonderful statement of God's mercy and grace. And yet we've often heard that so many times that we don't take time to consider God gave His only begotten Son. We can't fully comprehend that because we don't really understand how far down Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins. And we don't fully appreciate it because we've never really seen ourselves as the sinners we are. We don't realize how far God reached down to lift us up. And we ought to just be amazed every time we consider God's grace. But that gift was that we might have everlasting life. And so many people think about that in terms of, I get to go to heaven when I die. That's a fact. And what a glorious day that will be. But everlasting life is now. God has blessed us to have those experiences, to have that assurance, to feel His closeness and His comfort. And He's given us instructions to how to have those experiences. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, God's Word says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I'll summarize that in the beginning, and I'll try to develop this as we go along. But to summarize it, Paul says, worry about nothing, pray about everything. That is the key to experiencing and enjoying this everlasting life that Jesus Christ bled and died that we might enjoy. Now, in our language, be careful for nothing. You know, every time we have visitors at home and they start to leave by habit, but it's my heart's desire, every time somebody leaves my house, I say, be careful. And that's not the kind of care that is under consideration here. The words "be careful" is translated from one Greek word, and I'm not going to try to pronounce that word, but it's the same word that Jesus used in Matthew chapter 6. I begin reading at verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, and beginning at verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" The same word that is translated in Philippians as "be careful for nothing" is the same phrase that Jesus says, "take no thought." And of course, He doesn't mean you don't have to think about those things. But it means to not to be anxious, not to be uneasy, not to be nervous about those things. Now, I'm kind of the opinion that's humanly impossible. Have any of you tried to not to worry, not to be uneasy in certain circumstances? I think Paul understood the human condition, and certainly Jesus Christ understands the human condition. We're not able, humanly, not to be concerned and not to have cares and not to be anxious and worry at times. But I think the message is, don't let that rule your life. Don't let that overcome you. Don't spend so much time worrying and being uneasy and all those things that you miss all the joy that Jesus Christ has set before us. Don't let that overcome you. But Paul says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Notice Paul says, in everything. He didn't say for everything, but in everything. In every condition of your life, in every circumstance, whether you wake up in the morning feeling good, or you wake up in the morning sick or afflicted or whatever the case is, whatever circumstance you come to in life, you pray about it. And prayer, by prayer in this situation, the word really implies worship. Now, there's two different words used here, prayer and supplication. Some have said that we pray for the things that we desire, the things that we feel like we need. We make these petitions to God. And then supplication is we ask for deliverance from all the bad things and all the trials and tribulations. Some believe that the two different words that have very similar meaning, prayer and supplication, some have said, you know, there are times in our life where it's relatively easy to pray. We have ease, communion with God. But there are times, have you not felt that just the burden you feel in your heart, you need to pray, but you don't know how to pray or what to pray for? So that's supplication. We get down deep in our soul and we may just say, Lord, I don't know, but you do. Provide those things. We ask, we worship, and we make our petitions known. In the book of 1 Peter, in the 5th chapter, and beginning at verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, Peter says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." To humble yourself under the mighty hand of God is just to put yourself in God's hands. Confess that I can't do it. I don't know. I don't understand. But Lord, you do. I'm in your hands and I'm waiting patiently for you to do as you will. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, we sing that hymn, "Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there." Heard one preacher say, we're all good at taking our burdens, but most of them bring them back with us. If we could truly just cast our cares upon Him. Now, that's not to indicate that we live a carefree life and we just wait for God to do everything. We have duties and responsibilities. But we recognize that we can't do it by ourselves. We don't have the strength, and God does, and we're relying on Him. So we humble ourselves under that mighty hand of God that He may exalt us in due time. We cast all our cares upon Him, for He careth for you. There's not a time in your life, if indeed you're a child of God, and I believe we all are, that you've not been in the love of God. There's not been a time in your life when He didn't care for you. Even if we were off in the wilderness somewhere, He still cared for us. Even though our thoughts had strayed and we thought nothing of God, He thought of us. But then He gives us our responsibility. We humble ourselves. We cast our cares upon Him. But then we're to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. After you've suffered a while, the promise is that He will make you perfect. That is, He will make you whole, complete, mature. He'll make you the kind of child that He wants you to be. And then He will establish, strengthen, and settle you. And we understand that we are to be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, make our requests known to God. Why do we do that? God knows every need. He knows the thoughts and desires of our heart. And He's going to answer according to His will. We don't pray in order to try to change God's mind, get Him to give us something that He's been withholding from us. But we pray that we might understand His will and we may be conformed to His will. In prayer, I've had the experience sometimes of praying for things, and even as I was praying, it was like a voice said, no, that's not going to be. I believe God was communicating. I was praying for the wrong thing. And all I could say was, Lord, your will be done. even if I don't understand it, and even if in my human nature I don't like it, I have to submit myself to His will. I have to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. 1 John chapter 5, and beginning at verse 10, I guess. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not on the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record, that God has given unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. I promise, if we believe, we ask God, He hears, He answers our prayer. Now, that prayers, our supplications are to be accomplished, to be accompanied by thanksgiving. We need to be thankful to God. I want you to notice the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the church at Colossae. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Again, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Paul admonishes, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. That word continue means to be earnest, to persevere, to be constant. And persevering even though we don't see the answer right away. We don't feel results right away. Sometimes we may feel that our prayers are in vain. But until God says no, or till He grants our petitions, we keep praying. We continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Watch in the same. And the word watch is to keep awake and be vigilant. What are we watching for? We're guarding ourselves. We're resisting Satan and all those things. But we watch for the answer. If we pray to God in faith, our eyes are open to see the answer to our prayers. And we have to be watchful. We have to be vigilant, because so often God gives us so much more than we ever asked for. We may not even realize that's the answer. You know, we may be praying for the little things of this earth, and God will open the windows of heaven. So we're watchful. And we watch with thanksgiving. Even before you see the answer to your prayer, if you've prayed in faith, you ought to say, thank you, Lord, for hearing me. And thankful, I'm thankful for the assurance that you're going to answer my prayers. I have those promises of Scripture. I can depend on you, Lord, so I'm thanking you in advance for what you're going to do. And then the Apostle Paul says that we'll enjoy the peace of God. Again, Philippians chapter 4, if I can get turned back to the right place. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love that phrase, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Have you ever experienced the peace of God in unlikely circumstances? Sister Danny and I talked about experiencing the peace of God. When I had surgery, I had such peace. I had no cares at all because I felt that peace of God. Ordinarily, I would have been terribly uneasy in a time like that. But with God's blessings, I felt a perfect peace. I've known other times, in times of great sorrow, where the Lord granted me His peace. One of the things that Jesus told His disciples as He was about to leave this earth, in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 25, Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus said, "I'm granting to you my peace." And that's far different from any peace that the world may claim to give, that the world has to offer. I want to close by one final passage of Scripture in the book of Colossians, again in the third chapter. I begin at the first verse. Colossians chapter 3 and beginning at verse 1. Now keep in mind, when I began this message, I tried to remind you of what a great gift we have in salvation. The gift purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Something that Jesus intends for us to enjoy while we live here in this life. And He gives those instructions of how we can do that. I think I said it once this morning, and I heard somebody else say it just a moment ago. It's getting old is not any fun. And you know, as far as our bodies and as far as the outward man is concerned, it's going to be downhill from this. It won't get much better. Oh, we may have good days, but you better enjoy them. And yet, the Scripture tells us that though the outward man perish, that inward man is renewed day by day. And we know how we can live in a relationship with Jesus Christ, enjoying His blessings regardless of the circumstance. Now again, the Apostle Paul says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge of in knowledge after the image of Him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Notice that Paul says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Be careful for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication let your requests be made known unto God. Worry about nothing, pray about everything, and give thanks in all things. And that's my prayer, for Christ's sake.